time to meet the men from the ministry. Present Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler in The Men from the Ministry, a weekly tribute to the men of our government service, men who must spend long hours in their offices, hours which they face with patience, or sometimes with whist or Ludo. Over now to the General Assistance Department, where that busy young executive, Richard Lamb, is going through the books with his secretary.
Mildred, these library books you bought... just look at the titles. Dead Broads Don't Squeal. A Night of Horror. And Fast Dames Do It Quicker. These are no good to me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Lamb. Are they too racy, are they?
No, I've read them all.
Well, look, I'll take them back to the library. Oh, and shall I return this one off your desk? Hmm? What Every Young Bride Should Know with Coloured Illustrations.
I'd like it renewed, if possible.
I see. Well, if you write a note of what you do want, I'll drop it in the library on my way home.
Good idea, thank you. Then they'll have them ready on Friday. I had asked them to save me Crime Against Nature. I thought it was a thriller.
And in it?
No, I've heard since it's all about oil pollution. So we'll scrub that. I'll have Hank Blood's new book instead. The Executioner.
And there's a smashing one about a rebellion in a girls' school.
Oh, I heard about that. Lots of revolting schoolgirls. And they shoot their headmistress, don't they?
That's right.
What's he called?
A Bullet in the Head.
Good, I'll order that as well. There we are. We have had a busy morning.
I'll drop your note in the library this evening.
Thank you. Anything in the in tray, Mildred?
Only the usual. One sock and a piece of buttered toast.
One sock? Oh, yes, the other's in the confidential file.
Here. There's also Sir Gregory's memo about that Welsh steelworks. Something about they can't recruit all the staff they need, and the women workers rioted in their changing room.
I looked into it, Mildred. They've got a very old and depressing works in a Welsh town called Aberbanana. No one wants to work there.
So they should get a swing in new work, somewhere more attractive.
Exactly. I jotted down a note about it somewhere. If you'll type that and send it to Sir Gregory, he can sign it and send it on.
Yeah. If you don't want this book, I think I'll read it.
What? Oh, A Night of Horror. Yes, it's very exciting.
Here, what about this bit on page 9?
Oh.
She stood transfixed with terror as the devil dwarf approached, his evil eyes blazing with crazy lust. With a bony hand, he wrenched the thin silk from her trembling body and snarled...
One or two, oh! Well, what on earth's going on?
Sorry, Van, we thought you were the devil dwarf.
What?
That's to say, I've just given Mildred a night of horror because I've had it. She was having a quick dabble where she gets her dress torn off and we thought you were it.
It's going to be one of those days, isn't it? Mildred, a cup of tea might help me to face it.
Righty-ho, sir.
Oh, and please, stop saying righty-ho, Mildred.
Righty-ho, sir.
Mildred, sometimes, just sometimes, mind you, I get a slight feeling that you don't listen to what I say.
Do what?
Oh. Just fetch the tea, Mildred, fetch.
Righty-ho, sir.
I've been working, Mum. I've ordered my library books and answered Sir Gregory's memo about the steelworks.
Ah, good. Well, maybe that'll keep Sir Gregory away for a bit.
He is a pest. Mm. Actually, I've been working on an imitation of him.
An imitation of Sir Gregory? I'd like to hear it.
All right, I'll do it for you.
Ah, there you are, Lennox Brown.
My word, too, that is like Sir Gregory. Oh, my word. How you've got the pot-bellied old fool to a tea.
What?
Yes, I was just telling Lamb, I'm full of tea.
This office gets more like a madhouse every day.
Oh.
Then you, Lamb, why are you wearing that foolish smirk, trying to show your contempt for authority?
No, Sir Gregory, I'm trying to hide it. No, I mean...
I want to talk to you both about the big event at the end of the week.
Big event?
You saw my memo, of course.
Yes, of course. Yes, indeed. Yes. That big event. Yes.
An important day for Britain.
By Jove, yes.
Very important.
An event to be organized with care.
The end of
This week, you say?
Friday, man, Friday. Surely you know what happens on Friday?
Yeah, my landlady goes to a karate class.
No, no, good grief. It's obvious neither of you has read my memo.
On Friday of this week, Britain is sending up her first manned spacecraft. It will orbit the Earth for 4 days.
Ah, I remember. It's in all the papers. Yes, they're launching it from that rocket base in Scotland.
From Inverapenny, yes. The technical side is all laid on, of course. Our job is to supervise the other side. Practical arrangements, publicity, looking after the VIPs and so on.
You mean we have to go up there?
Yes, you'll go by train tomorrow night. Second class, of course.
Thank you, Sir Gregory.
This department will be making a further contribution, by the way.
What's that, sir?
Well, the actual launching's to be a big occasion. The switch will be pulled on a public platform and the whole thing will be covered by TV. They wanted someone impressive to pull the switch.
Oh.
A public figure with an imposing presence, plus style and flair. And I've been given the job.
Congratulations, Sir Gregory.
Yes, I knew you'd be pleased. After the launching, there'll be an important luncheon at the rocket station. Part of your job will be tying up the arrangements.
Very good, sir. Yes.
You two will be taking tea and sandwiches.
Very kind, Sir Gregory.
Yes, well, this banquet's for service chiefs, the Prime Minister and Cabinet, and other important people, like myself. There are further details from my secretary. Now get on with it.
Oh, sickening the way he gets the plum jobs and we do all the work.
Yes, just like the civil service swimming sports, remember? We spent all day treading water judging the races.
Yes, and he sat on the throne and judged the bathing beauty contest. Yeah, I remember.
Oh, well, I suppose we'll have to do what he said.
Oh, I suppose so, yes, but there's no need to rush, of course. Tomorrow we'll do.
Biscuit, Mr. Lyme?
No, thanks. They make my fingers sticky. Awful nuisance when I'm playing cards. Snap.
Mr. Lyme, I keep telling you, you can't play snap by yourself.
Never mind, Mildred. I've won.
Oh, Mildred, here's the seating plan for the banquet at Inverbrenny. I've just completed it.
Righty-ho, sir. I'll take it to Sir Gregory.
Yeah. Well, I've arranged the seating so that Sir Gregory is sitting on the Prime Minister's right hand.
Oh, how will he eat his soup?
They're not having soup.
Oh.
There's cold roast swan, stuffed with turkey, stuffed with chicken, stuffed with pheasant. And that's just the hors d'oeuvre. Hello, Lennox Brown burping. Herb speaking.
Pitkin here.
Oh, Sir Gregory, we've been working at this rocket business ever since you told us yesterday.
Well done, well done. I do hope it's not too much trouble, my dear fellow.
Too much trouble?
I don't want to overwork you, conscientious chaps. You've got plenty on your plates, I know.
What? It's Sir Gregory. He sounds almost human.
Perhaps he's had a head transplant.
I'd like you to come out and have lunch with me today, Lennox Brown.
Good, great. Well, thank you, Sir Gregory.
We'll take the rolls.
Rolls? Oh, I see. You mean a picnic lunch, sir.
You know, I mean, we'll take my rolls, my car, to my club. We can't have you walking all that way. It's over 100 yards. Now, I'll pick you up at noon. Bye, my dear chap.
Well, well, well. An invitation to lunch at his club. He even called me his dear chap.
Perhaps we really sent him out of his mind this time.
No, I mean, come to think of it, I have been doing rather well lately, you know. Yes. Well, I mean, I haven't made a major blunder for 5 days or more.
But last Friday you spilt your cocoa in his bowler hat.
Well, that's not a major blunder, too. No. You see, he's obviously pleased with me. Going to offer me promotion, I expect.
But Sir Gregory hasn't said a pleasant word to us in 15 years. When anyone mentions your name, he goes purple.
Yes, but it could be worse. When they mention yours, he goes green.
Sure, we get a free meal. That's the main thing. I shan't have to eat the packed lunch Mrs. Bradby gave me. It's pink blancmange sandwiches again.
Two.
Hmm?
Sir Gregory hasn't invited you.
Oh.
No, this is a personal matter. Oh, my word, yes. Oh, this is just Sir Gregory and myself, you see.
Another brandy, Lennox Brown.
Oh, no thanks, Sir Gregory. You've already given me three.
Four, actually. But who's counting?
Well, it was an excellent meal, Sir Gregory. Excellent. And now, no doubt, you'll want to get down to business. Well, I've never asked for promotion, you know.
Very wise. Saves embarrassment all round. Now, I've asked you here, Lennox Brown, because I want your help. Oh, do let me light your cigar.
Oh, thank you. By George, you seem nervous, Sir Gregory. You nearly lit my moustache.
You'll hardly believe this, but someone has threatened to assassinate me.
Really, Sir Gregory? I meant, really, Sir Gregory?
Yes. Great. Yes, this note arrived on my desk in a plain brown envelope.
Plain brown. Good grief.
It's obviously because I'm launching this spacecraft on Friday.
Oh.
Some crank thinks it's tampering with nature and plans to kill me at the rocket base. Oh. Yeah, well, we'll read it for yourself.
Oh, I see. Thank you, Sir King. What's this now? I don't want this crime against nature. I know enough about pollution already. On Friday, I want you to get a bullet in the head. The executioner.
Oh.
Well, clearly, you know, this is the work of some crazy fanatic.
Calls himself the executioner.
Yes, it's on the lobby. Yeah.
Well, of course it is. It's not me he's after. It's the man who launches that spacecraft.
Ah, but that is you, Sir Gregory.
Not anymore, it isn't. Oh, no. I shan't go near that rocket base on Friday.
Oh.
Yeah. Not that I'm afraid, of course. Look, no, things like this don't frighten me.
No.
It's the nation I'm thinking of. Can they afford to lose a man of my caliber?
Yes, indeed.
What?
Indeed, you're right. To think of the nation, sir.
Well, there'll be no fuss about this. I'll simply be detained in London on business, and someone else will take my place.
Excuse me, sir, I have to leave.
Sit down, Lennox Brown. I've just given you a splendid and expensive lunch. Now then, I want someone to volunteer to stand in for me at this ceremony. Someone who's not afraid to lay down his life for the civil service.
I'd love to do it, Sir Gregory. I would, you know. But I've just suddenly remembered, Sir Gregory, I've got this awful cold coming on.
It's not you, Lennox Brown, so you can stop biting the tablecloth. No, I want Lamb to do it. And I want you to help me persuade him.
Ah, oh, yes. Well, that's different. Yes, yes, I say. Let's both have another brandy.
Yeah, I felt sure you'd agree.
Oh, yes. Sir Gregory, tell me, are you planning to tell Lamb about the threat?
No, I want him to do the job. No. Now, besides, there's no sense in frightening the poor fellow.
Oh, quite. Oh, yes, it'll be a pleasant change for Lamb, you know. There's a very dull streak in his life. This should put a stop to it.
Indeed.
I've written a poem, Mildred, about this rocket thing on Friday. Want to hear it?
Oh, yeah. I love a bit of culture.
Good. Are you ready? Here's the news. It's really rich. Daft Sir Gregory's pulling the switch. I'll bet he gets drunk and starts to twitch. He'll never know which switch is which.
Brilliant, Mr. Lamb.
Like
he'd kill you if he saw it.
I didn't write it, Sir Gregory. I found it. I'll write you an apology. Two apologies.
What is it, my dear fellow? Something to do with this piece of paper?
No, wait. Don't read it.
Go for it, Mr. Lamb. He'll
hear you. No. Stay tuned. No. We want to talk to you.
Very, very clever, Mr. Lamb. Most original.
But it's making mock of you, Sir Gregory.
Well, that's what democracy is all about, Mr. Lamb. My staff feeling free to make mock of me.
I'll go and make a cup of tea.
Righty-ho, Mildred.
Well, have a seat, Mr. Lamb.
No, not there, too. There's no cushion.
Let me fold my vicuna coat for you, eh? Sit on that. The mid-lining's quite comfortable, you know.
Why are you both behaving like this?
Put your feet up, Mr. Lamb.
Oh, thank you. Both feet, Sir Gregory?
Of course, yes. Well, now, I've come to tell you that I shan't be launching this spacecraft at Inverapenny.
Sir Gregory has very generously suggested you might like to launch the rocket too. See?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, Sir Gregory.
Well, the TV cameras will be there, the PM and all the service chiefs.
TV cameras? My word. I've always said if I could appear on TV, I'd die happy.
Well, here's where you get your wish.
Imagine me sending up Britain's first spacecraft, I'll be in heaven.
Quite. Well, the ceremony is all tied up. Should go like a bomb.
Finish, Mark. Well, now, you're both off to Scotland tonight. Once you're there, Mr. Lamb is taking my place. That means he's in charge.
Oh.
Well, except, of course, for the technical side, which is in the hands of the chief scientist, Dr. Proctor. Apart from his area, Mr. Lamb's top man.
Oh, I'll be thrilled to bits. Oh.
Today's the day, eh, Dr. Proctor?
Aye, if those ministry men haven't messed things up ever since they came, they've been fussing about with the little rubber stamps. They've stamped the spacecraft, official paid. And do not bend.
Yes, I've seen them.
Who are you, anyway? Who are you? I've seen you hanging about all day dressed in that duff suit.
Me? Oh, well, I'm Captain Dibble. I'm the one who's been shot into space.
You? Who picked you?
I was chosen by computer. I was on the bacon counter at Harridge's, and suddenly... one day, they came for me, put me on a crash training program.
Crash training, eh? Oh, well, that'll come in handy, that will, yeah. Well, have you got your pills?
I beg your pardon?
Your food for the journey. Those Irish stew tablets and the tapioca cubes. Have you got them?
No, the ministry men have to check them and get them put on board.
Well, don't just stand there fiddling with your oxygen tube. Stand you in your capsule.
I thought I'd stay a bit and watch the VIPs.
Don't quibble, Dibble.
Sorry, Dr. Proctor.
Hey, and as you'll be shutting your rocket for 4 days, you'd best stop off on the way out and wash your hands.
Cheerio, then. I'll give you a wave on my first orbit.
Ah, Dr. Proctor, I presume. Everything going smoothly?
It was. Hey, must the astronaut really do 3 spacewalks?
Of course. At the Ministry, we do everything in triplicate. Oh. Where's my assistant?
Sorry I'm late, sir. I was cleaning your shoes, as you asked.
Ah, thank you, too. I must look my best with all these important people about.
Yes, well, the place is filling up. How's security, Dr. Proctor? We don't want any intruders, do we?
I've seen no one suspicious. Present company accepted.
I saw a suspicious-looking character, too.
Oh, where?
Mingling with the VIPs.
Can you see him now?
Yes, there he is.
What? Oh, now, don't be daft. That's the Prime Minister.
So it is.
There's a call for Mr. Lamb from London. You can take it on the phone in the corner.
Ah, that'll be my landlady wishing me luck.
Hurry up, we haven't much time.
Hello, Richard Rocket Launcher Lamb here.
It's me, Mr. Lamb, Mildred. I just wanted to say goodbye.
Oh, goodbye, Mildred. Mind you, I'll be back in London tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Lamb. Keep hoping. I've heard all about it, you see, from Sir Gregory's secretary. And you are very brave.
Mildred, I'm launching the rocket, that's all. I'm not going up to the heavens.
You're not? You mean you'll go down there?
Oh, Mildred, please. What's upsetting you?
Here, they have told you, haven't they?
Hmm?
About Sir Gregory's note. You do know there's a madman waiting to murder you.
He'll have to apply through the normal channel. Mildred, what did you say?
He's planning to kill you when
what?
You pull that switch.
Oh, Mildred, I can't... No.
So, what's going on?
Mildred, she's told me I'm going to be killed.
It's no use lying there chewing the telephone flex. It's too late to back out now. They're waiting to shoot you. The TV cameras, that is. Yeah. Dr. Proctor, help me to get Mr. Lamb out onto the platform, will you?
Well, viewers, as you've probably gathered, this is Forth Robinson here. I'm at Denver a Penny Rocket Base overlooking the River Muck. We await the launching of this magnificent spacecraft, Harold 2. As yet, there's no sign of Mr. Richard Lamb, who's to pull the launching switch. But, he's walking out on the platform now. Well, he's not actually walking. He's obviously a popular man. He's been carried on the shoulders of two friends. My word, what a modest man he is. He's most reluctant to come out. In fact, he's hooked his umbrella round the doorpost. My word, it's pulled him off his colleague's shoulders and left them carrying his trousers. The Prime Minister's seen his predicament. He's draped a Union Jack round his waist. Glam tries to crawl back through the door, but his friends are determined he shan't miss this great honor, and they've grabbed him by the threshold. Oh, they're dragging him towards the switch. Oh, my word, the sound of a car backfiring has had an amazing effect on Mr. Lamb. He's taken a running jump off the platform and away down into the river. Well, well, Richard Lamb's really in the muck now.
I've never seen such a disgraceful exhibition in all my life.
Don't be angry, but the last thing I want is a row.
No. Oh, any more last requests?
Yes. Could you release this salmon from my vest? No.
Don't drivel, too. Just be thankful we fished you out. I don't think we'd have bothered if the locals hadn't complained about river pollution.
The rocket went off all right, didn't it?
Well, only because I had the presence of mind to pull the switch.
Ah, jolly brave of you, one. And we're both still alive.
Yes, well, the whole thing was nonsense, if you ask me. All this talk of mad assassins, just because of one anonymous note.
What did the note say, Mum?
Oh, you know, the usual rubbish. On Friday, I want you to get a bullet in the head or something. And then it said, the executioner.
Oh.
Well, what is it now, too? Your head started steaming.
I wrote that note, Mum. It was my library list. It must have gone to Sir Gregory by mistake.
I see. Few people would, you know. But I, who have watched you with mounting horror for so many years, I see.
Bit of a joke, really.
A bit of a joke? Sir Gregory scared out of what passes for his wits, the rocket ceremony ruined, Fourth Robertson having a fit on TV, that's a bit of a joke. What about me, working under you for 3 lunatic days at the rocket base?
You were lucky I was in charge, man. Oh, there were lots of worries. Especially the feeding arrangements. I thought I'd never get all that champagne into the spacecraft.
Yes, well, maybe too, maybe. What? In the spacecraft?
Yes, there wasn't much room with all those hams and sides of beef.
Two. All that stuff was for the banquet. And you put it in the spacecraft?
Yeah. Here is the news read by John Curl. Britain's first spacecraft, Herald 2, is now in orbit. Astronaut Norman Dibble is fit and well, though his voice became slightly muffled shortly after blastoff. The direct TV picture showed this was because he had his mouth full of cold turkey. The picture revealed Dibble lying on the floor of the capsule looking relaxed and cheerful. He had one arm around a boar's head with an apple in its mouth. Now, here's a news flash. When ground control asked Captain Dibble what course he was on, he replied, "I've finished the trifle. I'm starting on the Stilton." He added that radio contact would soon cease as his microphone was saturated with gravy. And now back to the main news. After the launching, the Prime Minister was guest of honor at a banquet held at the rocket base. There was some surprise when, instead of the 14 courses printed on the menu, guests were served with glasses of water and dehydrated food pills.
You know, you could get away with last week's clangers if you behave yourself. Instead of which, you get in an hour late.
I was here earlier, one, but I nipped along to Sir Gregory's office to try and get that note back.
You went to Sir Gregory's office?
Yes.
To grab that note? But are you mad?
Oh, I was worried all weekend, one. That note's in my handwriting. Sir Gregory might recognize it.
But what if he caught you in his office?
Well, he's rarely in before 12. But just in case, I used a trick I saw on the telly last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I fixed a tripwire to his outer office, tied one end to the door handle and the other to the fire bucket, so I'd hear him come in.
Well, did you find the note?
No, I searched everywhere. Then I heard Sir Gregory coming down the passage, so I made a getaway down the fire escape.
The police! Call the police, Leonard Brown! Lock all the doors!
Oh, it's you to get away. That's Sir Gregory.
Are you all right, sir?
No, I am not. That note was right. There has been an attempt on my life.
Good gracious.
Yes, a death trap in my office.
As I opened the door, I tripped on a wire and fell with my head in the fire bucket.
Oh. Well, there's no point in calling the police. Surely, I mean, well, he'll be miles away.
You may be right.
Yes.
You may be right. No. I'm off to Scotland Yard anyway to get this murder note checked by handwriting experts.
Oh dear.
I don't know why you're nervous, Lamb. It's me they're after.
Mr. Gregory, look, I think he's trying to say that he'll deliver the note for you, you see.
Right.
Yeah, well, he passes Scotland Yard in his lunch break.
Yes, I do.
Oh, wait. Not a bad idea, as I've a busy day.
I'm sure, yes.
I have to be fitted out for a bulletproof bowler. Here you are, Lamb.
Oh, thank you.
Now, take care of it, won't you?
Yes, I will. By Jove, I'll take care of it, all right.
Yes, well, you better take it to the boiler room and burn it.
No need one. I've eaten it.
Oh, well, you can tell him it slipped down a drain.
Oh, what a relief. It's all sorted out.
One tiny point, too.
No.
You've not told me why your library list went to Sir Gregory.
Oh, I did a memo for him about the staff problems at a steelworks. Mildred must have switched it.
Then the library got your note for the steelworks?
Yes, they must have done. Well, that couldn't cause any harm, could it?
Do you want a bet, too?
I've just been down the Civil Service Library. The whole place is a shambles.
Doesn't surprise me. Nothing surprises me anymore.
But they had a ministry order. They say it came from you, Mr. Lamb.
The order was intended for a steelworks, Mildred.
Well, the library should know my order wasn't for them. I have a copy here. Yes, it is. It says, your present works are too dull. They should be sold and replaced with some bright new works. These should be filled with young women, the bare minimum.
Well, that explains it, Mr. Lamb.
Explains what?
They've got rid of all their books. They're filling the shelves with pin-up magazines.
Oh, well, what can I do? What can I say?
Don't say anything to them. Let's get down there as quick as we can.
Muddling through as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, and John Graham. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.
That program was first broadcast on the BBC World Service. If you'd like to attend a recording of The Men from the Ministry, you may like to know that 5 new programs in this series will be made in August. These will be on Monday and Friday evenings from August the 3rd to August the 17th in the Paris studio, Lower Regent Street, starting at 6:45 p.m. If you'd like tickets for any of these, write to the ticket unit, BBC, London, W1A, 1AA, enclosing a stamped, addressed envelope.